Every time I hear this song, yeah, I picture that open road on our way to get them Aerosmith tickets, man. That's what I picture. Yeah. So, hey, it's Triple Play Thursday, man. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. Which means you're going to hear two more Foghat songs. Because it's Triple Play Thursday. Dan, why don't you pick the artist for the next three? How many more breaks do we don't have? We're not going
to. We'll have to squeeze one in after the Express before Grzanich.
Okay.
But then we can get in another Triple Play Thursday.
All right. So you can get in. You can get another. So why don't you pick the artist for the next?
Well, unless Esmeralda. Oh,
no, Esmeralda's busy at the moment.
We'll figure something out.
All right, we'll figure it out. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. All right, here's the deal. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about games and game night and some of the weirdest board games of all time. And what do you guys like? Now, here's the deal. The reason why we're bringing this up is because of this new story. The new Monopoly replaces cash with credit cards and an ATM. I don't know if I like this. Esmeralda, do you think they should be messing around with Monopoly?
You'd be so much debt.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Do they have creditors calling your ass up during the game?
Well, it's a credit card. Somebody's going to want those payments.
Yeah. Now, there are like 9 million different types of Monopoly. You know, they've got, you know, Monopoly, you know, like Simpsons Monopoly and ever, I think, you know. Every TV show has, like, their own Monopoly. Monopoly cheaters, your days are numbered. Hasbro has announced a new version of Monopoly that gets rid of cash money altogether, replacing it with a miniature ATM. Players will no longer have to count out physical bills, which means younger players won't have to worry about doing math beyond their skill level, and cheaters won't be able to sneak money out of the bank. According to Engadget, Monopoly Ultimate Banking will come with an ATM-inspired device that can scan players' debit cards and the game's property cards in order to complete transactions. For example, a player who wants to purchase a property simply scans both cards and lets the ATM automatically deduct the right amount from their savings. Gizmodo notes that some earlier versions of Monopoly used a manual input ATM that actually slowed down gameplay. Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to slow down the game of Monopoly.
I usually get bored with it after I run out of money.
Yeah.
And then just tell people I quit.
Yeah. You take my hotels. Take them. The addition of the ATM-inspired device isn't the only update. The game will also include a new life cards that will cause economic changes like rent fluctuations that affect players. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Monopoly Ultimate Banking doesn't have an official release date yet, but Engadget and Gizmodo say that Hasbro plans to launch it sometime in the summer or fall this year. All right, 312-981-7200. Don't we play games to escape that kind of thing? Do we really want life cards? Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, the bank just foreclosed on your house.
Well, isn't that the game of life?
Yeah, what is the... I remember playing the game of life. I just don't remember what happened. You get married and stuff? Do you end up dead?
Right. There was like successful ways you could go and bad ways, right?
I don't remember.
I don't think I've ever played.
I played
or
it.
At least a proper
game. I enjoyed the cereal more than the game.
That is a good cereal.
It is a very good cereal. And Mikey even likes it. Remember when everybody thought
Mikey likes it.
His head blew up because he ate Pop Rocks and Coke? Remember that was like the urban legend was that Mikey from the Life cereal commercial, his face exploded because he put Pop Rocks in a Coke can and drank it, and then his eyes blew up. His eyes exploded out of his skull. He wasn't even at a Blue Oyster Cult show. His eyes actually, there was no laser pointed at him at a Blue Oyster Cult show for his eyes to explode. Has anybody ever found out whatever happened to Mikey? Because obviously that's not true. His face did not melt off like the Nazi guy at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark because he ate Pop Rocks. I was watching a rerun of Match Game because, you know, it rules. And they made reference to Pop Rocks, and everybody on the panel was like, what's that? People didn't know because this was like when Pop Rocks first became popular in the 70s. And so, of course, Elaine Joyce had a package of Pop Rocks, and she, like, passed it around. And, like, Brett Summers was like, what's going on in my mouth? It was like, then they're like, Gene Rayburn put a bunch of Pop Rocks in his mouth, and, you know, his fantastic skinny microphone that Gene Rayburn had, he stuck it, like, halfway down his mouth and then was like, Pop Rocks were popping all over his face. And it was one of the greatest moments in Match Game history was when Elaine Joyce handed out Pop Rocks to everybody. How about home versions of game shows? Did you ever have any of those? I remember the home version of Match. We had the home version of Match Game. They had the home versions of Hollywood Squares. You could have the home version of Price is Right.
Who did you play the home game of Match Game with?
My friends, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any. I'm an only child, so.
I mean, I'm like, did you play it with your parents? That probably got weird.
With my parents. Yeah. Well, with it, I mean, I don't. If I remember correctly, I don't remember the questions being like, "Hey, he stuck his blank in the thing." Well, of course, all the questions were like that. By the way, Dick DiBartolo, one of the first guests I ever had on my show, and I was so excited to have him on. Esmeralda, do you know who Dick DiBartolo is?
I do not.
Dick DiBartolo is a guy who has many accomplishments. And still, ABC News, he does, like, gizmo reports. He's probably going to do a report on that Monopoly game. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. And he was one of the first guests we ever had on a show when I was with Gary Lee Wright. And I remember being so unbelievably excited because Dick DiBartolo was a major part of two things in my youth that were seminal and crucial to my comedy and my upbringing. Dick DiBartolo is one of the main writers for Mad Magazine. And he wrote some of the greatest stuff and parodies that Mad Magazine ever did. Now, you have to understand, I'm a 50-year-old man, and Mad Magazine meant a lot to me when I was a kid. And as anybody who was a baby boomer or, you know, like between baby boomer and Gen X, Mad Magazine was a big deal. And Mad Magazine was a big deal. That was like my first real source of comedy. Was Mad Magazine, and Dick DiBartolo was one of the major writers. So then, and on top of that, not only was he like a major writer for Mad Magazine who wrote some of my favorite things when I was a kid when I read Mad Magazine, but he was head writer on Match Game. He invented Dumb Dora. He invented Old Man Periwinkle. All of that stuff, Dick DiBartolo invented those questions. So when I had the first time we had Dick DiBartolo on, I was starstruck. I was beside myself. I was like, oh, my God, it's Dick DiBartolo. He's been on the show many times. In fact, he was on my 30th anniversary show last year. Incredible guy. But, yeah, they had the home versions of those. Esmeralda, did you ever have home versions of game shows?
No, but how do you play the Hollywood Squares as a home version? Isn't the whole point is the celebrities say all those funny quips?
Yeah, that is, but it's also just, it's a glorified version of tic-tac-toe. I mean,
I'd get bored. I'd be like, where's Paul Lynde?
Well, if you don't have Paul Lynde or like Charles Nelson Reilly, like Match Game is the same thing, man. You don't have Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly, you don't have Match Game.
You might as well just watch it on TV.
Yeah. Play along on the, you know, they had the Family Feud. Now, Family Feud you can play, the home version of Family Feud was a good one, I remember.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I used to like it because you could set up the little board and put the card, and then you would slide the things open for each answer.
Was there any buzzers?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, they should add buzzers.
Like I have a little plastic button. You press the button for the strike.
And then do you do it like on the show where if you didn't guess them all, you reveal them, and then you go, oh, milk.
Right.
You all say it at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so I have here weird board games. We've we haven't talked about board games in a long time, but what were some of your favorite board games? And do people still do game nights? I know, like, everything is computerized and it's technology, and you people play stuff on their phones, and they do people still do the, hey, help me with my farm. Do people still do that crap?
Farmville?
Is that still a thing?
That is sort of still a thing. I have some friends who now, this is going to sound really sad, but they play some game which is kind of like that, but it's where they collect cats. Yeah, I know. They collect, like, stray cats in this app or something. And then they
decorate
the house.
What's it called? Help me get a disease? What?
I don't know. It looks very Japanese because it's really cutesy looking. But I've heard them talking about it, and they're like, yeah, did you find Mr. Kimiko? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? It's like, that's a cat that you have to find. I'm like, oh, my God.
So you collect cats.
Yes.
All right. By the way, I'm not on acid. Something weird is happening with the clock. It just went nuts.
What are you talking about? Everything's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Says the guy who requested fog hat.
Yeah! It's Triple Play Thursday, so we got two more Fog Hat songs to hear.
But to the game thing, people still do play.
They do the, hey, help me out. I don't get as many. I used to get
more. They do farm. Yeah, no.
I used to get a lot of requests. Hey, seeds for the corn?
Right.
And I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. No, but people play board games.
Okay, board games. 312-981-7200. Hat, baby. That's right. Triple Play Thursday. I chose Fog Hat for our first Triple Play Thursday artist. Maybe, hey, Esmeralda, do you want to pick the second artist that we can sneak in three bumps for? And I got one more bump for Fog Hat. And then you can just think about it.
I will. Does it have to be the same?
No.
Okay.
Fog Hat. Yeah. I remember I was very excited when Fool for the City came out. When the album came out, my friends and I were like, oh, man, Fog Hat. I remember the album cover. Does anybody remember? No, of course, you guys don't remember the... Yeah, you guys remember the album cover for Fool for the City?
I am looking at it right
now. Oh, you're
now,
looking at it? See if I can describe it, okay?
Okay.
It's a city street. Guy's in the middle of the street, sitting on a chair. I think he's got a beard. I think he's got like a crazy beard and a hat on. And he's fishing in a sewer. He's got the sewer lid off. And he's got a fishing pole, and the line is going down into the sewer. So he's sitting because he's a fool for the city. So he's fishing in the sewer. Do I have that about
you're
right?
You're very close. He just has a mustache, but it's so big it could be a beard.
Okay.
And it looks like he's actually sitting on like a heater of some sort.
It's not
no,
a cooler.
It's like a box.
He's sitting
like
on
a wooden
a crate.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's sitting on a crate. Okay. Sitting on a crate, fishing in the sewer.
And he's wearing a shower cap.
Yeah.
Oh, he's wearing a shower cap. Wow, he really is a fool.
Is that that's not a shower
cap. Or it could be just a very lightly colored beret.
Yeah.
See? Genius.
And he's got like that old coffee cup that's like, looks like it's got like the cards on it, like the playing cards.
Oh, yeah. He's got one of those?
Wait, what?
He's a fool.
By the crate there.
By the crate, he's got a coffee cup.
Right next to the fishing...
It's a Coca-Cola cup.
You guys are discussing... You guys are arguing over the details of the Fog Hat cover Fool for the City.
She might have a better version. I'm looking at
the YouTube. I think Dan needs glasses.
Yeah.
Now, do they say the year for that? Because I'm guessing 78. That my guess for Fool for the City would be 78. 77, 78. Because they did Fool for the City, 77, I'm going to say.
75, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, okay. You know, there was a Fool for the City board game that Fogg had endorsed.
You got to wear a shower cap?
You had to fish. It depended on how you had to catch the most fish in a sewer. That was the object of Fool for the City, the board game. Hell, you know, we should copyright that and make an app out of it. If people are collecting cats, why aren't they, you know, if they're doing a game where people are collecting cats, let's collect sewer fish and call it Fool for the City. I think Foghat would be up for it. What are they doing? What's Foghat up to now?
I don't think anyone's uttered that question in years.
Foghat has. I think individual members of Foghat have asked that question quite often over the past 35 years.
When I Googled Foghat, it did scream "On Tour Now" in all capital letters.
Oh, yeah, man, Foghat on tour.
They will be playing the Rancho Mirage Amphitheater in Rancho Mirage, California this Sunday.
Yeah, man, go to Rancho Mirage. Are they coming to Chicago?
I do not see any Chicago dates.
Oh,
they
man.
Were in Iowa on the 15th of January. So that looks like it's the closest Midwest date.
Well, we should have had a road trip. Iowa to see some Foghat. I don't think you guys realize how popular that live out Foghat Live was. Foghat Live was like ridiculously popular. So, all right, weird board games. Now, I've mentioned this board game in years past. We used to play a game, my buddies and I, this was years ago. This was like in the early 90s, mid 90s. And when my actor friends were all like sleeping in one apartment. You know, it was one of those deals for these guys. It's like six guys in one apartment. And you can imagine the hygiene and the cleanliness of this apartment if you'd like. These are, you know, six actors. And they used to play a game called, they had a board game called Dealer McDope. Now, Esmeralda, are you familiar with Dealer McDope?
Not at all.
Okay, Dealer McDope is a board game that you're supposed to play while you're blowing weed. And they would play it while they were blowing weed. But when a couple of my other friends would come over, I wasn't a weed guy. I was a drinker, so we would play it with liquor. They would play it with weed. And when I was a drinking man, we'd play Dealer McDope, but with booze. And the idea was that you were a drug dealer, and you had to, like, get your stash from the cartels before getting killed and, like, have your dope and stuff shipped over, and you had to distribute it. You had to sell your dope. And it was a board game. You had to go around this board and meet all these, you know, challenges that were set by, you know, the DEA and other drug dealers and people trying to kill you and people trying to rip you off. And it was called Dealer McDope. Now, I don't know. I would imagine that there's got to be like a Dealer McDope game on eBay somewhere. We'll check it out. But I have this list of other weird board games. There's some really crazy board games on this list. And I looked at the list, and Dealer McDope is not on it. But it was a real thing. I promise you, I did not hallucinate this. All right, we'll take a break. We're talking about board games, game nights at home. 312-981-7200, talk and text. We'll take a break. It's Nick DiGilio. News next. I don't want you. Wash my clothes. I don't want you. Keep a home. I don't want you. To be true. I just want to make love to you. Yeah. Yeah. Triple play Thursday. That was our triple play of Foghat. Foghat, man. I don't think you guys understand the popularity of Foghat.
No, I don't.
They were huge in the 70s. Man, they were Foghat. That live album, man, I'm telling you. Everybody I knew had the Foghat Live album. It was cool. It was Foghat. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WG. And there's a shocker. It's the Nick DiGilio show discussing Fog Hat. Yeah. You hear a lot of Fog Hat talk on the WGN radio stations, don't you? Doesn't every show on this station talk about Fog Hat?
I really like the idea of Triple Play Thursday because I think we'll be able to play songs that have never been mentioned or even conceived of anybody here. There's a lot of possibilities here.
Listen, I remember when Rick Kogan did 2 hours dedicated directly to Fog Hat, and it was some of the best radio I've ever heard.
Well, we are the number one Fog Hat station.
In the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fog Hat Central. Yeah.
When Kogan did that, did he just recite Fog Hat lyrics in that smoky, wonderful voice of his?
I'm a fool for the city.
Fact, that actually is appropriate. That would be something Rick Kogan says.
Yeah, no, that is true. Did you see Kogan out on the street with a fishing pole and a shower cap on?
See, you know, the sidewalks picture that runs in the thing, what you don't see is he's holding a rod in his hand. Osgood only went from, like, the chest up.
That's right. It didn't have his fishing reel in there, Kogan's fishing reel. Kogan's going to bed right about now. If he's listening, he's going to punch me right in the mouth. It was funny. When I was a drinking man, and I would fill in for Dean Richards when I was doing, you know, my weekends. I was kind of the go-to guy to fill in for Dean when Dean would go on vacation or something. And so I would get to do crosstalk with Rick Kogan because at that time Rick was on before Dean's show on Sunday mornings. And I remember the first time that I ever did crosstalk with Rick, as I was preparing to do Dean's show, I walk in, I sit down, and Rick goes, he puts the mic, goes on, Rick goes, it's Nick DiGilio and Rick Kogan on a Sunday morning, and neither one of us are in the drunk tank. It's unbelievable. And I remember when Rick started to come back and do a little more work at the station, because he was gone for a while, and so I saw him in the hallway, and I'm like, Rick, are you coming back? I go, are you going to come back? Are you going to start doing Sunday mornings again? Hell no. I'm not doing any Sunday mornings, never again. So he's on Sunday nights here on WGN. Oh, I learned my lesson there. Rick Kogan is a damn national treasure, ladies and gentlemen. It's such an unbelievable honor to even know the guy. Such a legend. All right. All right. Now, Dealer McDope. I wonder if Rick Kogan ever played Dealer McDope. Esmeralda, did you see any luck looking up Dealer McDope?
I did see pictures. It doesn't look that exciting. Like the board itself, I would think it'd be a little funkier.
It's not exciting unless you're blowing weed.
Right. I think that's the point.
It's like watching a Seth Rogen movie. When the smoke clears, it's not funny. You know what I mean? Although, you know, Cheech and Chong movies are funny and you don't have to be high.
See, but I feel like those are funky.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
But this board does
not look. Can you check on
cool.
eBay, Dan? Check on eBay and see how much a fully equipped Dealer McDope game is going for. I don't know where my friends. I remember I was over there one night and they were sitting around in the dining room on the table. They were just, you know, everybody. There's beer all over the place because it was, like I said, we were in our 20s, and everybody in the apartment, they were all living in, like, it was like a 6-room apartment. There were 23 guys living there, and they were all actors and barely making any money. And all they would do was they'd blow weed, get loaded, and play this Dealer McDope game. And I remember coming over there one night, and I'm like, "What the hell are you guys playing?" They're like, "Dealer McDope, man." I'm like, I'm so glad I'm friends with you. Are there any available on the eBay?
Searching the contents of eBay right now.
And there's no Dealer McDopes.
Nothing at the moment.
Wow. Esmeralda.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
$89 is the highest bid.
$89?
There is a used version for $45, it looks
like. Oh, my God. Man, if my idiot friends still have that, they're like, let's sell it now, man.
You can buy the board game money for $3.65.
The board game money? I've never even heard of that one.
Well, just like the money that was used.
Oh, the money in Dealer McDope. Just the money costs $3.65?
Correct.
Good God. We got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. 219 area code says, we had the home version of the $10,000 pyramid, and it was a blast. You know, I always thought that Dick Clark was lived up to his first name on that show. I really do. He, like, you know, he would be there. And by the way, you could never show. Do you guys ever watch the pyramid? According to the rules that Dick Clark provided, you couldn't show pictures of your kids or your family unless you won. Yeah, now that you've won, you can show up. Like, you jerk.
Wait, they just had a picture in their pocket?
Yeah, they would, like, it became a thing. They would bring the pictures of their family in hopes that they could show them if they win.
No rebels were like, and then they just pull it out.
No, because they'd have to have a special camera.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? It was like a close-up of the little wallet size. And then he was always like, he'd come in and go, what about, and he, like, if they missed a few, he would start giving clues going, well, what if I said this and blah, 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 blah. And it's, oh, things on a chessboard. Well, sure, Dick, you're standing over there with no pressure. You come lollygagging in after, you know, the clock is done and you're throwing, like, suggestions like you're Captain Smart. He used to drive me nuts on that show. I'd watch the show. I'm like, man, what a jerk. Dick Clark, the most aptly named guy in game show history. Like, come on, man. Well, what if I said this? Blah, 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 blah. Shut up.
A lot of anger.
No, he used to just make me mad because, you know, you got guys like... you got guys like Gene Rayburn, man. I mean, now there you go. Gene Rayburn would never do that. He would never go, why didn't you think of this, jerk? And no, put that picture of your family away. How dare you? You didn't win $10,000. You're an ass. Donny Osmond was a much better host of the pyramid than Dick Clark was. Now, Dick Clark, very important guy in the world of music, in the world of television, in the world of broadcasting. No question about it. A class act. He was a terrible game show host. He did not have the right attitude to be a game show host. Standing over there like a know-it-all. Well, if I would have said this, if I would have given this clue and I would have said this, you wouldn't have done anything, you jerk. You would have panicked while the clock was ticking. You know, and you got a picture of your kid burning a hole in your pocket that you know you won't be able to show to anybody because of that stupid rule.
Oh, no one wants to look at your ugly kids anyway.
Well, at least it's a game show. Just like, go ahead, take the, humor them. Yeah, take the picture out. All right, there's a picture of your kid. That's great. How the hell is that going to hurt anybody? Dick Clark, oh, no, you have to win $15,000 before you can show a picture. And if I remember correctly, you could, if you had more than one kid, you could only show one picture at a time.
Well, that's when you get them all together, one of those pictures.
No, I think it was like one picture at a time. So you had to win like $50,000 if you had five kids. If you had five kids and you wanted all of your kids to be seen on the precious pyramid with precious Dick Clark, then you'd have to win the pyramid five times in order to do that.
It's only for winners.
I'm tired of this. By the way, did you know that Camel Cigarettes had a board game? We'll talk about that and more. All right. What am I? Oh, here. I'm holding the wrong thing in my hand. I get this. See, I start talking about Dick Clark and I just get crazy. Jerk game show hosts. That's a whole nother sub development. All right. Coming like a freak show, take the stage. We give them the games to play. Say, I want some bills to get me through this. Send me some kind of life. Baby, I want some bills. I'm not listening when you say goodbye. Yeah. So, obviously, Esmeralda chose Third Eye Blind, which actually fits in with the alliteration of the day as well.
There you go.
Third Eye Blind Thursday. It's going to be really difficult to find three songs by these guys, though.
What are you talking
hey
about?
Hey, now.
Now, wait a minute. First, we got the Ace of Base Council here, and now suddenly Third Eye Blind. Now, listen, I will be honest with you. I bought that CD when it came out, and I like that song. It's undeniably catchy. The only other song that I can think of that these idiots had was the guy jumping off the roof.
Jumper.
Right, that's it.
What about How's It Gonna Be?
Oh, yeah. How's it gonna be?
And then Graduate.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or Graduate.
Graduate, yeah.
I mean, they're just off that one album.
It's just off the one album, yeah.
But there is more than three.
Okay. All right, so Third Eye Blind on Triple Play Thursday. Yeah!
Jeez.
that song that you just played, I thought was very catchy, and I bought the album when it came out. And I remember thinking, whatever. I wasn't crazy about it. I did like that song because it was really catchy. That song reminds me of that damn song by Sugar Ray that I love. It's like, it's clearly not a very good song, but it's insanely catchy. And I love it. What the hell is this?
Their first one?
No, Sugar Ray, When It's Over.
Ah.
That song rules. Now, I don't own any Sugar Ray, but there are times when I will listen to that song. Like, I really love that song, actually, When It's Over. I love it. It's like it is one of those songs where it's like I think what a lot of people feel about Taylor Swift, about Little Swifty, is that you're about halfway through the song, you're like, damn it, I like this. And you're mad. Like every time I hear that, like that last song we just played, it's like, oh man, I like this. And it's Third Eye Blind.
Don't be mad about that.
Oh.
You embrace it.
Yeah. But that's how I feel about that damn Sugar Ray song, which I love.
Next Thursday, we need to do another one of those that you feel about with like a triple play of Avril Lavigne.
I love Avril Lavigne.
I know.
I love Avril Lavigne. Not so much now. Like her first couple albums, I love. Love it. She's got that damn song with the I'm With You. Oh, man, that song is good.
What did you think when she married what's his face from?
Who?
Chad Kroeger
from
Nickelback.
Yeah.
Oh, she's married to the dude from Nickelback?
Yes.
I think they
really?
Still are they still together?
Yeah, I think they are. They had a rough patch, but I think they're still together.
You didn't know that?
No. Avril Lavigne, I stopped like when she was not a skater girl anymore, I stopped.
Right. Two Canadian powerhouses.
Are they both kids? Oh, that's right. Nickelback's Canadian. Yeah. But like she did that album, the Complicated was on it, and that I'm With You was on it, and then the album after that. Those two albums I have, and I love them both. Then I became kind of but when she was a kid, I liked her. People were like, "Yeah, she's punk." She's not. She's Canadian hair, a kid with long straight hair. But that I'm With You song, I love that song, man. That's one of those songs. I was going through a breakup when that song came out. I was actually listening to Avril Lavigne. That's how pathetic a human being I am.
You should have played it on the anti-Valentine's Day.
I should have, yeah. Okay. And she's like walking around in the video through a party and pushing guys and stuff out of the way in slow motion because she's really upset.
Did you want to be those guys getting pushed?
I was. Didn't she? She also wrote that song about like, hey, I'm not going to give it up to you. Remember? You thought I was going to have sex with you.
Does not sound
Did
familiar.
Did you think I would? Mm.
Nope, keep singing. Keep going.
That song where she's like, no, I'm not going to do it with you, jerk. Did you think I was going to give it up to you? I think it's actually one of the lyrics to it. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm Avril Lavigne, and I'm punky. You know who did a killer Avril Lavigne imitation back in the day? Amy Poehler. Did you ever see Amy Poehler do her imitation of Avril Lavigne on SNL? She's hilarious on it. Hilarious. I think it might be the first time that the Lohan hosted. I think it was the first time the Lohan hosted SNL because they had Rachel Dratch come out as Hillary Duff and they like squashed a feud that they had. And then Avril Lavigne and then Amy Poehler came out as Avril Lavigne and it was absolutely hysterical. So Camel has a board game. We're going to get to that. I promise. We are. Don't bring up Avril Lavigne and expect me to talk about a board game from Camel.
Wait, did we? Oh, yeah, you did. Okay.
Yeah. He brought up Avril Lavigne. Dan did.
Right. I thought it just came up naturally.
Yeah, well, sometimes it does. And, I'm a 50-year-old man who has conversations about Avril Lavigne and Gossip Girl, so leave me alone.
By the way, Craig Collins just texted, "Don't Tell Me" is the name of the song that you were trying to think
That's
of.
It. Don't tell me. It's like, I'm not going to have sex with you, so shut up. All right. Of course, I love the fact that Craig knows that. Everyone's got to face down the demons. Maybe today you can put the past away. Hurry up, I gotta get home and watch the new episode of Friends. Did you see ER last night? Oh my God, was it great. Oh man. Okay. It's Nick DiGilio here. It's like I thought I was in a time machine for a second. Dan, really quickly, have you watched any of the Triumph during the election year on Hulu?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's Triumph, the insult comic dog. That's Robert Smigel. Robert Smigel, who is one of the most gifted comedy minds in the history of anything that has comedy. And he's been going on the campaign trail during the election year. And he was asking questions of pundits and stuff, people during the Democratic debates. He was at the Democratic debates, and they had everybody come out afterwards. He goes up to one of Sanders' people, and he goes, now that Bernie Sanders is running for president, who's going to get Marty McFly back to the future? the person working for Sanders just busted out laughing. Oh my God. Sorry. Hey, was that your favorite Third Eye Blind song?
No.
The first one was, right?
I mean, yeah.
It's gotta be.
Yeah. How's it gonna be, though?
How's it gonna be?
That's another anti-Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I don't remember much. I just remember, here's what I remember about Third Eye Blind. Doot, 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 doot. That's pretty much it.
That's my white whale for karaoke.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Really? Because you can't conquer it?
It's got a lot of words you got to say fast.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it does.
And then they change the lyrics on you sometimes because there's two different versions.
Yeah, and they've got that like weird little interlude.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, you are both absolutely terrifying me right now. I just want you to know. I'm scared to be in the same room with the two of you.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that Camel had a board game? I mentioned that 4 hours ago.
Yes.
I thought I would follow up on that. In case Bruce Dumont is listening, I want to make sure that he knows I'm a professional broadcaster, that when I set something up, I try to pay it off. Cigarettes had a board game played on a handy tabletop. This game included dice with the letters C-A-M-E-L and corresponding camel cards. Players then attempted to match their rolled letters with a selected card. The game was packaged as a giant cigarette hardback.
That's kind of cool.
It is pretty cool.
Smoking is not good for
you. No, but that's kind of kitschy and cool. I bet that stuff goes for a lot. I bet if that game's out there somewhere, I bet it goes for a lot more than dealer. Hell, if Dealer McDope can go for $90. How about this one? Capital Punishment.
Oh, man.
From 1981, Capital Punishment offers four players the grisly job of cleaning up your violent streets with pardoning liberals at your disposal.
Oh, wow.
And innocent victims at stake. The first player to imprison all the felons on death row or send them to the electric chair wins. Yeah.
All right.
All right, how about this one? I believe this one might be my favorite on the list. Pain Doctors, the game of recreational surgery. From 1996, you could have played this while you were listening to Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, actually.
This 14 and older board game. I like that that's the cutoff. 14? Yeah, it's fine. Put your wits to the test. As a surgeon, you have to bolster your patient's health before performing numerous surgeries. And meanwhile, competing players are enlisted to make your patient sicker.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
So they sabotage?
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
That's great. Pain Doctors, the game of recreational surgery. I want that game.
Yeah.
We should play that on air one night.
It's probably more visual, but.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of if I'm not too into playing the game, the goal then is to just ruin everyone else's time. not in a like, this game is stupid. No, but like try to mess with them as much as
like
I possibly
sabotage
can.
Them.
Yes, completely.
Okay. SMESS. SMESS. SMESS, the Ninny's Chess. It's a whacked out version of chess. Players take each other's player's brain piece or king with the help of a single space moving ninny like a pawn, and while removing numbskull pieces like castles and bishops, players follow directional arrows printed on each square.
Nah.
Okay. How about this one? And then I'm not doing an accent. This is exactly the way it's written. I want to bite your finger. There's a little Dracula thing.
Is that because of that? Remember that video? That little boy and his brother bit his finger?
No.
Anybody? Charlie bit my finger? Anybody?
Charlie bit my finger.
What's
going on? It was a viral video. Like, it was this little kid and his brother bit his finger.
Oh, yeah. The baby, little baby bit his finger. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I was like, what the hell is going on? I thought it was a video, like a music video or something.
No.
That Third Eye Blind did. 1979, this is from. I want to bite your finger. Time is of the essence if this vampire-inspired dice roller in which players have to hope Dracula doesn't wake up.
And bite their finger.
taking turns turning ahead the hands of a clock. Inevitably, the vampire electronically awakens to claim the next victim, and it's your fingertip. Doom players must stick their finger in his mouth to receive twin bites from an actual red marker. Well, surely one of the most pointless games of all time, it definitely made an impression.
No.
How did I not have that game? 1970, well, I was 14.
That sounds like you could really be awful with it in the sense of doing bad, dirty things.
Yeah. Well, I'd be, yeah, that's true.
Dracula's mouth.
Yeah. But you know, if that game came out when I was like eight, seven, that would have been the greatest game of all time. Getting bit by Dracula, not waking, don't wake up Dracula.
Sticking your finger,
stick your finger in Dracula's mouth and see if he's going to bite you. And how about this one? Swack. SWACK. These are real games, by the way. Swack. And it's an exclamation point. That's why I'm saying it
right.
Like that. Definitely not for the squeamish. This game required players to test their nerve against the board itself, which was a giant functioning mouse trap. Like mice, players attempted to retrieve a piece of plastic cheese from the unpredictable snapping trap. Successfully removing the cheese meant points, but getting caught meant a swack from the trap. You know, that came out in 68, which of course makes sense because people my age and a little bit older, the fact that we weren't killed by our toys is unbelievable.
Just made you stronger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, could you imagine, do you know what a wood-burning kit is, Esmeralda?
No.
Okay, let me explain. This is a real, I'm not making this up. I got one when I was seven. I was given one when I was seven. It's a wood-burning kit. Essentially what it is it's a soldering iron.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You right. Plug it into the wall. The metal tip heats up to roughly hotter than 50 times the sun. And then you burn stuff into it. You actually burn wood.
Okay. So
designs into wood.
Right. Or just your initials.
Yeah.
On
or your arm or your sister's face. You know, whatever happens to be.
Your cool tattoo.
But that was like a, that was like an actual, oh, yeah, oh, look, I got my kid a wood-burning kit. I'm not, I was seven when I got one, seven. How about chemistry sets? Chemistry sets where you would actually mix stuff together, like chemicals.
Right, yes.
You know?
Hence a chemistry
set. Right, but then like you're like five. Drink it dead.
Then you learn.
You learn to die. You learn to have scars for the rest of your life because of your brother's wood-burning kit.
Yeah, someone will find it.
It was only a matter of time before like you got bored with the wood and went, well, I wonder what this will do to my sister's Barbies. You know what I mean? I didn't have any, you know, brothers or sisters, so I just used it on my face, which explains why I look like Deadpool. Which, by the way, that movie sucks.
Come out Saturday to see.
Yeah, come out Saturday to see Scarface. Yeah, see? Oh, look at that. That worked out better than I thought it would. Call Dumont, will you? No, he's listening. He's taking notes. You can't not listen to this kind of radio. Are you kidding me?
Woo.
Oh, boy. Esmeralda's going to be there Saturday night for Scarface. That alone
right.
should get you to come out.
Aww.
MovieCode.com. Only $10 to get in. Parking is free. Come on out. Scarface on the big screen. Al Pacino rules. Count the F-bombs. You'll run out of numbers. Yeah. Did you guys see two girls, a guy, and a pizza place last night? It was great.
Wasn't TGIF yet.
No. Did you guys get the Playboy with Pamela Anderson for first?
I'm a child. I can't.
I'm a
that.
Child.
Gross, mister.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Weird.
Sorry. Oh, man. Well, that Cheers finale still makes me sad. I don't know.
Again.
Makes me sad. I saw it last week. It was just unbelievable. Now I'm just combining everything that happened in the 90s. Because that was 93 when that happened. Everything that happened. And Seinfeld was on last night. Did you see the finale? It sucked.
Did you tell Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox about Third Eye Blind?
I did. I told them. Did they sleep with them just like they slept with Yarnhead? Adam Burritz?
Dirts. Adam Burritz, I'm pretty sure, played hockey for
he
us.
He played hockey. That's right. Adam Burritz played hockey for the Hawks. See, that would have been cool if they slept with Adam Burritz. That'd be cool. But instead, they slept with Yarnhead. What was the guy's name who did the... That was Crash Test Dummies, right?
It was.
Did that guy have a name?
No.
He just didn't have a... You know, because he couldn't speak. He could just go... He's like, what's your name? All right. Thank you. You ever play Mousetrap?
No, actually.
Really?
Had a lot of components.
Well, that's the thing. 708 area code sends in one of many texts that we got. Mousetrap is a great game until you lose some of the pieces.
Yeah. Well, because if you lose one, then you can't do anything.
You can't do anything. It's useless. How about Park and Shop?
Wait, what?
That's a game, I guess. Remember, you were telling me off the air, what was it called? Mall Madness?
Mall Madness, yeah.
Like teenage girls would go to the mall and they'd be mad?
Mall Madness.
Oh, was that like the catchphrase?
I remember like watching commercials and like the thing would talk and stuff.
Right. Was this in between Third Eye Blind songs? Yeah. And then John says, we would never, ever play Monopoly.
Wow.
Well, apparently John's un-American.
House rule?
That's right. Don't you dare bring a Monopoly board game in here. I used to kick you out of this house.
I used to have a game. What was it called? It had these sticks that you... It was a cylinder, and then it had holes so you could put sticks
Kerplunk.
Into it. Kerplunk. Game was
Kerplunk.
Stupid.
Game was stupid. Okay. We have to go.
All right.
Hey, Esmeralda, tomorrow is Fly Jams Friday.
Yeah, it is.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right. We'll be back after this.